Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy, and I've got a question from one of my loyal listeners. Thank you very much for the question. And this is a question, haven't had this one before. Have we, Brandon?
No, we have not.
Not had this one before. I told her, oh, this sounds like an interesting topic, and kind of told her I'd eventually get to it. Well, eventually happens to be the same day she sent it to me, because as we came here to record something else, this one just kind of stood out. And you want to know why it stood out? Because I got two people in the room with me, and I just had to do therapy sessions for both of them. Maybe we didn't do a therapy session, but they both shared with me how they could relate to this topic. So I said, well, since the energy and the vibe in the room is they're both having some sort of experience with this topic, and it may not be in their own personal lives, but they definitely see it in everyone's lives around them. When I say experience, it's more like people their age are kind of going through this. Yes, there are 20-year-olds inside the room with me right now.
I'll round up to 30.
They're almost human beings, 20-year-olds. They're barely human beings, almost human beings. When they get to 30, I'll start counting them as real human beings.
Dog, I'm almost there, man.
One of them is almost there, and the other one's closer. Boom, boom. That was a joke. One's younger and readier. One's older, getting readier.
Radier is not a word, but congrats.
We will go there. I just said it, so it makes it a word.
All right. 10 times an article, it's a word.
Basically.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
All right. So give it to us, Brandon. What is the topic that you and an unnamed individual in this room can relate to?
Essentially, the question, I'm just going to simplify it, is why are younger people estranging themselves from the family, not talking to them, setting up boundaries, and why does it seem like that's a trend on social media?
Very good. And like I said, this came from one of our loyal listeners. And so I just wanted to tell her, I know that we did not say the question exactly the way you said it, but we want to make it more general for everybody. The only one difference that I think kind of she was making is that she was talking about living in Utah County, and she's noticing that there's this trend on social media, like Brandon talked about, but there's also this trend with life coaches, according to this woman. And I've heard of this a couple of times where people are giving advice to young people that they need to have, you know, harsher boundaries or more stricter boundaries with their families and their loved ones who might have hurt them in the past. And so there's a lot of encouragement behind this sentiment that if someone in your family has done you wrong or has hurt you in any way, shape, or form, that you need to set boundaries with them so that they don't continue to hurt you. That would make great sense if your family members had literally abused you and hurt you. But one of the issues from this, and this woman also was kind enough to send me a book. I haven't started listening to it yet, so I'll listen to this book on Audible, and then I'll get back maybe in the future about my thoughts on this book. But the book talks about The Rules of Estrangement is the name of the book. And I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to check it out. But according to this article that I just read, it said that this author talked about how the biggest difference of why there's an uptick in younger people, specifically in their 20s, feeling more estranged from their families, is primarily because the goalposts have been moved in regards to what a definition of what is traumatizing, what's abuse in today's generation with 20-year-olds versus what might have been labeled as abuse or traumatic, bad family, bad parent behavior 20, 30, 40 years ago. So like I said, I haven't read the book yet, but I did want to comment on this. I think the main reason, if just get down to the nuts and bolts of things, why there's more estrangement now than ever, because younger people, specifically teenagers, have more access to information than they've ever had before. So the majority of parents I've talked to, they're in their 30s, 40s, or 50s. Okay. And when you're in this age, if you think about it, if they're in their 30s, then their parents are probably now in their 50s. If they're in their 40s, their parents are in their 60s, 50s, parents in their 70s, that's safe to assume, right? Well, what do all those generations have in common? If you're in your 30s right now and you're a parent, you weren't raised as a child with the internet. If you're in your 40s, you definitely weren't raised as a child on the internet. 50s, definitely not.
No.
No computers, no internet, definitely no cell phones. If you're in your 30s, you might have had technology, some cell phones later on in life. But the reason why I bring this up is because when I was younger, if my parents told me something to scare me, something to correct my behavior, something to make me fall in line with the way that they wanted me to think, act, behave, believe, what have you, I was at the mercy of my parents' information that they shared. I had no way of fact checking them. I had no way of going through, like, just check their past to see if they were a hypocrite, if they were telling me to do something that they did not do. There's no way for me, for my parents weren't saying, hey, you're on your phone too much. I go, well, you're on your phone too. And they couldn't say, well, it's for work. Oof. Right. The reason why they couldn't say those things, because like I said, there was no phones. There was none of that going on. When my mom said, hey, a kid died of this, and I said, how do you know? She could say, my cousins, aunties, uncles, brothers, sons, friend through marriage told me. And I was just supposed to go, okay. They were like the harbingers of truth. It was like your parents, like they had the knowledge, they had the information. Well, that's part of the problem. Nowadays, kids can open up their phone, open up their laptop, open up their computer, open up social media, and they can fact check it in real time. They can ask ChatGPT. They can go quickly over their parents' head, right to the source, and get information, come back and call their parents out for their hypocrisy or their lack of knowing or their ignorance. I don't know about you guys, but last time when parents get called out and checked by their kids, usually parents don't just bend the knee and say, oh, you're right. I had no idea. I'm such an idiot. I should never talk as if I know something before I know it ever again. I should make sure I know everything is correct before it comes out of my mouth. Parents usually don't like those types of restraints on them. Parents usually want to be the person who has more of the knowledge and information, and the younger generations, it's changed. The younger generations have the same access to the information the parents do. So why do I bring this up? Because it creates a big problem when it comes to hypocrisy. It makes parents, whether they mean to be or not, it makes them look like they're hypocrites, or it makes them look like they're outright liars, makes them look like they're deniers, and it can cause a lot of confrontation. Again, back in the old days, if the parents held the keys to knowledge and success, and they told their kids, here's some pathways to success, you follow these pathways, you'll be successful. If kids followed those pathways and they were successful to some degree, they could say, great, thank you. However, sometimes if you follow your parents' advice too much, you can build resentment, because if it does not work out the way your parents promised you'd work out, you can blame your parents for that problem. Then you start to say, hey, it was their fault, not my fault. I was stuck in just following orders. And then you can get that feeling of maybe sometimes being obedient can be a flaw. Maybe you need to test the boundaries. Maybe you need to shake things up a little bit. I talk about this all the time, but one of the most important thing for adolescents to do for their family, well, it's like kind of their main objective for the family, and they don't realize it's an objective, it's just part of the developmental cycle. It's their job to disrupt the family. Teenagers are natural disruptors of the family. Why is it a good thing for teenagers to disrupt the family? Because if the family does not evolve, they die. Plain and simple. Teenagers are like the scouts. They run out there, they see what's going on out in the world, they come back, they give information to the families. If families are not open to understanding that information, then there's going to be some problems. In the old days, if families weren't open to that information, they could, old school dads could say, no kid of mine's going to dress like that, think like that, vote for that person, or have these beliefs. If you want to be a part of my house, you just got to just do what I tell you to do. And in the old days, when your next door neighbor might have been miles away from you, and resources to food and water and shelter, all those things were very scarce, then you might have had to just go along with it. Well, in today's world, you know, if your parent says, I don't want you to think like that or believe like that or dress like that, so if you don't follow me, you're not going to be able to eat. Kids can usually call the parents bluff, because most parents aren't going to not feed their kids because they can get reported for that. Or the kid just may have some credits on their Uber Eats account and may just order their own food themselves and start to think, I don't need my parents as much for food as their ancestors or as parents in the past needed. So the reason why I'm taking this approach to answer this question about estrangement is because I cannot tell you if you have a valid reason to be estranged from your family, because there are obviously cases where people out there need to separate themselves from their family. They need to have boundaries from their family because their family is physically, mentally, emotionally, or financially taking advantage of them, abuse them, or mistreat them. So since everybody's situation is individually much different, I just want to talk about it on a very general perspective. I do not want kids teenagers, specifically in this case, young adults, to separate themselves from their families, to be so estranged from their families that they can't go have, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. They can't hang out for a Christmas party. They can't go to weddings, funerals, those big gatherings. If you're unable to go to those gatherings because someone in your family has hurt you and abused you so bad that it's that traumatizing, well, then you need to go get some professional help. You might need to create boundaries. However, in order for you to know who you are, in order for you to be able to become your own person, in order for you to be able to have your own autonomy, I do not think it's required that you have to have certain boundaries toward your parents. And here's the reason why. I think it's an overcorrection in most situations. How do you get better at things that you don't work at? Now, I'm coming to you saying this as people that know me in my own personal life. They could say, David, well, you're a hypocrite. You do not have very many close, intimate relationship with your family members, and you are a marriage and family therapist. And I would say, yes, you are right. I do not have a lot of close relationships with my family members. There's only one sibling that I talk to consistently, and there's a couple siblings that, you know, I'm cool with, and, you know, we talk. There's no drama or beef, but then there's some other siblings where I do not feel it's best for my life to be talking to them. I don't know how they feel towards me. I just don't think that it adds any peace to my life. I believe it adds more confrontation. I don't go as far as saying, like, I have to hold a boundary to them and I can't allow them to treat me or talk to me that way or to behave that way. You know what I do? Just the old school way. Keep my mouth shut. Keep going. Don't make a big deal out of it. Realize I can't change them as much as they can't change me. Do I love them? Yes. Do I like them that much that I want to spend intimate time with and go out of my way to be able to be close to them? No. Do I have my reasons? Yes. Pretty simple. Yeah. Brandon, I know you have some friends that have some strange relationships with their family members. I know you and your family members all hold hands every single night and say prayers together.
Oh, is that so?
That was a joke. So what are your thoughts about what I just said?
I think from the perspective of the overreaction with the estrangement, there's a couple things that come to mind. Is with, let me try to form, we said a lot. So with being able to have your parents be unchecked before in the past, we can't fact check them. You can't see if what they're saying is true or what their motivations are. And now I think as the generations get the internet, just everything as a whole is being questioned. What's true? What's not true? What have we been lied to? And that's at work, that's all in the home. There's a bunch of different things that are happening. So I could see it as an overcorrection from that of everything that happened to me is wrong. These things aren't, I'm trying to make sense of everything that happened. So it makes sense why that would happen. On the other end, I think when we've talked about social media, trusting your feed in the past couple episodes, we have so much emotional turmoil and understanding and try to figure things out that the biggest constant in your life is your family. So if I could have a quick happy pill fix to just cut my family off and I will be happy and everything will work out great and will fix everything because I set this boundary, I also think as people trying to find a quick fix, and it's way more nuanced with that.
Yes.
And also people my age and myself included, I think there's a benefit at times to the estrangement, air quotes on there, to realize that a lot of the issues you're having, you need to be alone to realize it's yourself. Those things played a factor into it, depending on the scale, of course. But on the average situation, it makes up who you are, but it's also your responsibility to respond to how you were raised. Like, you get to make a choice. So sometimes creating space between people to realize how much is yours and how much isn't yours is helpful. And if I got to just go on social media and say, I'm not talking to this family member anymore and I'm perfect and happy, and then I'm not alone because people are telling me you're doing the right thing and validate everything, I think that's also defeating the purpose of why you would want to be estranged anyway to work on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a challenge too, is that everybody's seeking validation, and sometimes validation comes through getting attention. And so one of the challenges may be with so many people doing TikTok videos, so many people doing videos talking about their estrangement from their family. A lot of people are going to watch those videos, they're going to be interested in those videos, and they may relate to some of those people in those videos, which will only create more people to want to make content and videos like that, which only makes the need for having estrangement be something that you can validate and you can actually prove as like it could create people wanting to do more of that just because it originally was a problem that then they got attention for. So that's my biggest concern, is that we're turning something in that we're turning something that just happens that you should deal with into something that you can get attention. You can get clout for, you can get some sort of validation that you're a victim for. Even if you are a victim, the solution to having a better relationship with your family is going to be one relationship at a time. And the other solution is not going to, well, one thing that you shouldn't do, and I guess this is what I failed to mention in the first part, is that don't make a freaking big deal about it. If you call up your parents, say, you know what, I just met with my therapist, and or they call you up and say, hey, we want you to come over for dinner. It's like, you know what, I would, but after meeting my therapist, I realized that I have to establish some boundaries, and you guys have not treated me in the way that I felt I should be treated in the past. So because that, until you can do these, you know, different types of things for me that can't really be measured, they're just how I feel, unless you can make me feel it a certain way, I don't think it's safe for me to come to dinner.
You know what that's
saying? That right there is absurd, because you're talking like you're using someone else's words. You're describing what you're going through, and you're trying to put up a boundary against people that might need to put up boundaries against you too. Like, they may have their own side to go, oh, what about what you did over here? So with my clients, with people I'm talking to, don't make a freaking big deal about it. Just don't go to the dinner, or just say, oh, sorry, I can't make it. Now, if they call you out and say, hey, I feel like you're avoiding things, then you could give a little bit more context. Be like, honestly, it's not that I'm like avoiding you guys. I just felt like it'd be better to just let some kind of time kind of go between. Remember last time there's a fight, but you know, I love you guys. Everything's all good. Sometimes creating a boundary, and another word for boundary is rules. When we create a boundary, we're making a visible thing that we feel like we have to then enforce. I'm not talking to people who've been abused by their families. I mean, really physically, mentally, psychologically stole. If your family duped you into business, stole millions of dollars from you, don't show up to Thanksgiving 2 weeks later. I get it, right? Nobody's expecting that. What I am saying is the people that can look at your life and say, a lot of the reasons why I'm struggling today, I can trace back to my family. Let me give you a little secret. So can everybody else.
Yeah.
We can all trace our issues back to our family. And that's not the main issue. If we're to keep on tracing issues from our family that started problems all the way throughout the rest of our life, there's plenty of blame to go around. It doesn't just go to your family. So for those people who have to keep their family out because their family's been so horrible to them, great. For those people who have to get the law involved because maybe you have to a restraining order, great. Do all those things. Those are extreme situations. But for those people who are not physically unsafe when they're near their family, don't make a big deal about it. Do it on the DL. Maybe, you know, kind of just do about it in a more above board way, which means a more professional way without getting into lots of details. But if you try to have a therapy session with your parents who are 20, 30 years old, who may never have been to therapy and don't speak like that, don't have those words, and it doesn't land well and it causes a big fight or confrontation, you shouldn't be surprised. Because that's what I usually see. If you try to create too firm of boundaries with family and members and loved ones, they can easily look at you and be like, oh, really? Oh, is that so? So you didn't have a boundary with us when you came to us and asked us for $10,000 to put down on a new home or to buy a car. So for that, it's okay if there's no boundary. You can just come ask us. But if we ask you guys to come hang out for Thanksgiving dinner, that doesn't make you feel safe. But you didn't feel safe when I was paying and giving my credit for you to get a new house or a new home or a new car or something like that. That's where that double standard lies. And so I just want to make that very clear for all you people out there that do have estrangement issues with your parents. Work on the issues, because you can get better at them if you work on them. Setting boundaries and trying to enforce those boundaries, I believe, will cause more good and cause more problems, more harm than it will good. Brandon, I know you're waiting to say something for a minute.
Going back earlier in the conversation, I can't remember exactly how you said it, but with the setting the boundaries from the kid perspective of like, for an unmeasurable amount of time, there's a certain rule, like it's not a tangible thing that I have to be away from my parents and you guys have to do something for me. What that sounded like is when a parent goes, you're grounded, you don't get your Xbox and your phone, and you go, for how long? Till I feel like it. It's like, okay, so with the how you exaggerated that and showed that, or talking about from that perspective of a kid telling their parents, same energy, same thing, the same thing you're mad at, you're now doing. So keep that.
Very petty.
Yes. Also, my friends that have real reason to step away from their family, they're not putting that on their Instagram story. So there's a lot, there's multiple sides to that. Some people overshare on social media or makeup stories, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you sharing? Like, from it, as somebody who's 28, the hardest things I've gone through in my life are for the people around me. I will be open and vulnerable. We've practiced those things. And this is with the right people, though. I don't need the whole world knowing that. And another caveat to it from the boundary people, for people like, well, I need to do this. I need to set those with my parents. This may be a little contrary to your belief, but if you burn the relationship with your parents, with the therapy speak, with the boundaries, this, and you're super aggressive, and you're not an only child, you may be setting up for your other siblings who have beef that they can't even talk to their parents because they're going to be traumatized from you lighting them up, and then your other siblings aren't going to have a chance to hash out the things that they need to hash out. So there's, I think when it comes to...
It could spiral in a lot of bad directions.
A lot of things can fracture. But I think the biggest thing is when you're saying, like, if you need family, we talked about this, kind of about the political thing for holidays. You're going to need your family at some point. And if you're fortunate where you don't need your family, you are on your own thing. Okay, cool. Different life circumstances. But yeah, if you have to be on your parents' payroll, they're helping you out with things. You can't also crucify them at the same time. Like, that's, it's a relationship. They are offering you something. It may not be perfect, but if you do need help from them, then find good common ground that you like, and then don't touch those subjects or just be civil with it.
Yeah, if you can give some of your family members the benefit of the doubt for just being idiots and not knowing better themselves, I mean, just look down your family tree for a moment. Look at your grandparents and look at what you heard, the stories you hear about them. Look at your parents, where they were raised. And I know it's hard for a young person to give grace and to give forgiveness to older people. But for all you young people out there that may be listening to this, just take one thing into consideration. Sometimes you got to be an example to the people who should have been a better example to you. So is being a good example to them, towing the line and shaming them and creating a boundary and enforcing the boundary and telling them that they're wrong and that they have all these issues, is that going to be a good example to them? Or is that kind of doing the same type of gaslighting and being petty that they did to you that caused the resentment that you currently have towards them? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just putting that out there. That's something you got to ask yourself. Because like I said, I don't know if you're being petty with these boundaries. I don't know if you're looking for issues, but I do know there ain't no drama like family drama. If you got drama with your family, everyone loses. It's a lose-lose for everyone. It's never a good thing. If you've been blackballed from your family, or if you told your family to go whatever themselves and have all these horrible words for them and get in fights with them, great. You leave, they leave, and both of you are not better because of it. The only time you're better from having a distance from your family is, like I said before, when it really is unhealthy and it's really not safe, really not good. But in either of those situations, I can't think of too many times where I've told my clients that they have to go face to face and tell this person, I'm not going to allow you to treat me like this anymore. Because it reminds me of like a bully on the playground. I've heard so many people give bad advice to kids who are being bullied. Some of the advice I've heard, like, you need to go up to the bully, stand up for yourself and tell them that you're not going to take anymore and you will not allow them to treat you like that anymore. I've never heard that going very well. You know what I have heard going a lot better? Go live your life. Be prepared when that bully comes up and tries to say, hey, you know, give me your Twinkie, your cupcake, whatever it is. Imagine like in seventh grade or something like that, or sixth grade. And you say, no, I'm good. And just keep on walking. Now, if they grab you and physically try to restrain you and try to take it from you, then of course, you know, try to get away from them, you know, go see a teacher, whatever. But to stand there and say, my mom told me to stand up to all bullies, pop, you get punched in the face. It's like,
yeah, it's not gonna work out.
That's not the way to approach a bully. So if you have family members you feel are a bully and you want to stand there and you want to send them this long text proclaiming how you're not going to be treated like this and they've treated you like this your whole entire life, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? They don't want to hear it. And it doesn't make you sound strong for saying it. If you want to enforce a boundary, you do it in a lot of other ways. Your behavior, your body language, and your actions. If your actions are you're not showing up to family dinners anymore, I think they'll get the message.
Yep. Right. Yeah, I think just that on that note is for those people who have been estranged from their family, have done those things, like if you have to do that, you have to do that. And at the same time as you get better, maybe your parents get better, it's always cool to reexamine relationships. Maybe like, yeah. Hey, even if it's like, okay, well, maybe the only thing I can talk about with my parents is this certain thing. And if that's what you want to do, if it helps you feel better. And a lot of people talk about the healing journey. And I'm just going to focus on the word journey. Journey means the past's going to change. Things are going to change. How you feel is going to change. So just because you feel some way today doesn't mean you feel the same way tomorrow. And who knows? Maybe your parents end up apologizing, realizing stuff. And just because you know more information than other people doesn't mean you're better. That means you just got blessed with the opportunity to know more information than the person before you.
Yeah, I mean, intimate relationships, a lot of times we want to be estranged from them because they hurt us. They make us feel bad. And it doesn't mean that it's best for us to hold those intense anger and emotions towards them and to believe that it can never change. But especially with family, it's not someone you're married to or dating. Like, there's blood there, right? Yeah. So if you have a family relationship that's estranged and there's reasons for it to be estranged, let sleeping dogs lie. Just let that be for a little while. Sometimes the best thing to do is to not do anything at that particular time. Again, I don't know everyone's individual situation that will be listening to this, but I do know one thing in particular. Your family loves you. You love them. If there's hurt and pain there, it's not because you didn't start off with love and expectations and hope. You expected things to be different. You hoped things would be different, and it wasn't different. If you got a family where you've lost hope and you've given up and you need to go get psychological, you know, mental, emotional therapy and help to help you with that, great. And all at the same time, they're still your family. And if there's windows of opportunity, you might be able to connect with at least a couple people of your family. Heck, it might be good to be able to go to some of your family members and say, hey, I just had this experience with so-and-so. They're driving me mad. They're crazy. I can't believe that they're doing this. And then have that family member go, yeah, they did that to me too. Laugh about it, joke about it, vent about it, do a little trash talking, take a deep breath. And then just go to Thanksgiving dinner. Like, it's just go and deal with it. Just don't talk to them as much at dinner. If we have other family members we can talk to, we have friends that can relate to us, it does not help you guys to hold those angers and frustrations towards your parents. If you've been abused by your parents and you want to start the healing journey, like Brandon said, the healing process, healing's forward, it's not backward. Only if it's really bad do I suggest you have to limit yourself to interaction with them and might have to say something about it. Besides that, just do you. Don't make a big show about it. Don't make it public knowledge online that you're fighting. Don't get on a family group text and poke and prod at the person, be petty about it. Slowly accept the reality that you can't change them as much as they can change you and let it be.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you even want to strip it down to a strategic perspective of if I'm pulling away from my family, if I'm becoming estranged from my family to create space from the hurt and pain, why would you tell them? Why would you bring gasoline to the fire? Why would you blow it up to this thing? And people say, well, they need to know. Or
your ego wants to.
Yeah, your ego wants to smoke. Or it takes to make a change in your life, for whatever reason, takes courage and effort. Courage and effort can be speaking up when nobody else is speaking up, but it also being soft and rubbing somebody's back or just being like, hey, yeah, I just can't make it this time. That also takes courage to not go for the fight, to not do it. Because if your goal is to heal and to do those things, then put yourself in the spot to have that. Don't go hurt yourself trying to justify your estrangement. If you're at that point, you may not be ready to do that. Like, there's so many factors into it. But from a strategic standpoint, if you're going to do it in the way that's going to help you heal.
Have you read a book on this or are you writing the book on this?
Yeah, I'm experiencing the book.
No, I completely agree, Brian. Thank you very much for adding in that because you guys over here at OG Therapy, we give you suggestions, we give you ideas. And like always, thanks for pressing play to listen to our ideas and our suggestions for you. But we're not telling you what to do. If you're estranged, that sucks. Try to make it better, but if it doesn't get better, go build your own family, your own life that you always wanted to have. Until next time, be cool.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.